This is June 4th, 1980.
Now, I'm going to ask a question about Frank Zappa. What is the major motif or symbol in the artistic creations of Frank Zappa? He calls it his conceptual continuity.
It is the simplest. It is a simple yin-yang. Much has been learned by himself of this. But who suggests best locate first?
California, Los Angeles, Laurel Canyon, Woodrow Wilson Drive, number 7885, Frank Zappa, and he is age 39.
Yes, we have this one, but not at this location. The yin-yang itself, by himself, it is especially his study upon this, that he has found a continuity, where he has created certain balances which within themselves are balanced. If you would see the melody that this individual create, and the way that he used the melody that is created by others, is extremely interesting, because of the because of that which he himself had to it to make a balance. Here is an extremely balanced individual in himself. And that which he touch moved toward a balance, you see, and that is evident in his work.
My next question is, Marsh McLuhan says that, quote, television is an extension of our central nervous system. Is this a physical fact?
In the usage of McLuhan here, is obvious that it is an interface between man and electronic technology. But he himself halted that particular point, that man's senses end and the electronic media itself, by its various configurations, extend the nervous system of man electronically. However, it is possible to move consciousness along any pathway that is created. If there is a degree of continuity through a pathway, a consciousness can be expressed along this. And if consciousness will be termed a part of the nervous system, then yes. It is true that any media itself, where there is length from one point to another, this can be used as a physical extension of the nervous system itself. The book by Roger Regulus, Phone Calls from the Dead, is extremely useful in examining the effect that is noted in certain electronic systems where there is an expression of surface area by length. And that certain electronic circuitries can reach a certain size where the total surface area of the system itself becomes not only a medium of transfer, but also a medium of reception. And especially at certain frequencies, reception of consciousness. And in that, the nervous system would have no ends, you see. It would have its certain physical ends, to be sure. But since consciousness itself is only bounded by the limits that consciousness place upon itself, then man can extend himself to any distance that he himself allow himself to do so.
Did Buckminster Fuller have much of an influence on his thinking, on Marsh McLuhan's thinking?
Yes. Yes, to a degree, there has been influence here, basically because of the interlockingness of Fuller, the term it, the humor of Fuller, which Fuller could see that, that certain patterns were established that have more reality than certain, quote, more scholastic patterns. But if there were a sudden influx of shaven heads, then it would mean that there would be not a great amount of workers in barbering the scholastic part. But Fuller would say that if there is an influx of a fad of shaven heads, there would be the necessity of more barbers, you see. And that style of thinking would term it more of a true logicalness, and a logicalness extended into a marketplace influenced McLuhan.
Would Harold Innes have had more of an influence on McLuhan's thinking than Fuller?
This individual had some, but more into that which would be best described as a clean-up position. It would certainly follow through on the logicalities themselves. This individual had the ability to teach McLuhan that a stick was more than a stick. It had more uses than being a stick. And that one would grasp a stick, and by the very act of grasping a stick, the person that would hold the stick would change. And that there is now symbiosis between the stick and holder. That both themselves have changed. The stick's functions have changed, and the person that holds the stick has changed. Now, this can be true whether this is a cudgel, a gun, a telephone, a calculator, a television set, etc. And this has altered the thinking. This individual aided McLuhan in this area of thinking, you see.
You mean Harold Innes?
Yes.
Can McLuhan's ideas be applied?
In the way that we have said, yes. McLuhan's ideas can be applied. And he is more of an observer than a participant. But by his observation, so he has altered participation, you see.
Well, would one be able to use computer as a kind of global thermostat to adjust various technologies with different populations and countries' uses of them? For example, newspapers and television and their effects on the various populations, and that a computer could control this like a global thermostat?
Well, yes.
That could be done.
Could be, yes. The logistics of this, particular stage would appear somewhat horrendous. And also there are certain other facts. That in Russia itself, Samizdat is an important means of communication. Samizdat itself, being basically mimeograph paper, would have its particular impartation of authority, since it is basically a counter-authority. Would the computer itself replace the authority or the samisat? We see that it would replace the authority, but the samisat itself would have more authority in certain individuals, especially where there is the necessity to create trust.
Mrs. Lee, I didn't get, what's the word samisat?
Samisat. This is...
Could you spell that?
Phonetically. S-A-M-I-S-A-T.
What does that mean?
A paper that is passed around.
I see.
Basically, information that is not generally available is printed on Sunnyside.
Okay, thank you. Is the information coming from the transmedium Paul Shockley accurate?
Yes, okay.
Paul Shockley in Oregon.
Is the information that he gives in his readings about a giant computer in Brussels accurate, that it is used, that it is called by its employees and users the Beast, and that this will be used as a means of keeping tabs of all people on this planet?
The answer to this is no. There are certain computer installations in Brussels itself, yes, basically to interlink with The Hague itself, but none of that capacity or that utilization.
Would they be used for a kind of totalitarian control of the world populations through certain entities in the international banking world?
The answer to that is no.
Banking?
The answer is still no.
No. This computer would be used for positive ends?
Basically, the computer situation in Brussels itself is that it is an international legal computer, but it do not deal with individuals per se. They deal basically with certain unification of law and exchange of law between country and country. But not with individuals, nor could we see that it could be used for that purpose.
You do not see it being used for negative or destructive purposes?
We do not see this at all.
Okay. Paul Shockley, other information, but Paul Shockley says that there are synthetic beings being made in Nevada. This under the auspices of alien UFO forces. Is this accurate?
Once again, no.
Paul Shockley says that there are synthetic human beings, or clones, maybe they're called, being made in the mountains of Nevada that are being sent out into the populations of the United States. Is this accurate?
The answer, once again, no.
Did you say no?
We did say no.
I see. So this information is not accurate, then?
We see this as not existing. None of those conditions which have been said exist.
Is President Carter dead and replaced by a robot, or is he the original President Carter?
Individual President Carter is that which was born President Carter.
Thank you. Is the information coming from May Bressel and her researches in assassinations accurate?
Okay, California, Sophia Sotelo, number 25620, May Dessel.
Spelling of the last name, please.
Dessel, B-R-U-S-S-E-L-O.
Yes, we have this one.
But do you want to ask...
The question again?
No, but do you want to ask regarding Paul Shuckley and perhaps even regarding May Russell, why he believes that this is the way it is with the computer and with Carter, etc.?
Oh, that's a good question. Shall I ask about, it's Russell, not Russell. Shall I ask about May 1st?
Thanks, Rob. What disturbed you about this one most?
May Russell has extensive files and done research for over 10 years on the assassination of the Kennedy brothers and King, and I was wondering in a recent interview I read with her if her speculations are accurate.
Good, yes. Good. She also has good files on the individual Jordan who was shot recently.
Is there a particular organization that was responsible for that attempt on Jordan?
Well, basically, there is more to this than meet the eye. We assure you on that. But the point here is that she herself is very close to the solving of the situation itself. And this, we would suggest, as she herself knows, is an extremely dangerous position in which to be.
Her life is threatened.
Yes, indeed so. But she has what is known as the down-button technique. Imagine an individual that hold a button that have on it an explosive.
Yes.
That if that person is harmed, the button would be released, not pressed, but released, and the explosive would detonate. If anything happened to her, the button itself would be released, and there would be a considerable amount of publicity. This individual, while in somewhat of a dangerous position, is basically safe. However, we see that many see her as the most distinct threat. In the next 2 years, she will release more material, and she would be gratified to know that she will be on target, would be the description. For there would be confirmation from other sources that she herself has not been able to contact at present.
Do you know what city she is in at this point, where she lives? Is she still in Carmel?
We have the individual, but we do not have the individual in Carmel. We have the individual to the coast.
On Los Angeles?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. In his book, Vodka Cola, Charles Levinson has a lot of information. Is this information accurate?
Please, okay, do you want to have this individual?
Miss Lee?
Yeah, I'm trying to find your name here. What was the name again?
That's question 5, Charles Levinson.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. In Switzerland, Geneva, the General Workers Union, the 1920 Secretary General of International Federation of Chemical Energy and General Workers Unions.
No, he was born in 1920.
Okay. And so he is age
60.
Charles Levinson.
Yes, we have this one. Yes, this information is basically valid.
Okay. My next question, is the information coming from the United States Labor Party, headed by a person named Lyndon LaRouche Jr.? Is this information in their newspapers and publications accurate?
Bob, I forgot to tell you, and it's just gone the half time.
Okay, I think I'll take another few minutes, and then I'll give it to Carol.
Okay.
Okay?
It's
this question's important, I wanted to get.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Oh, please, no hint.
Don Van Fleet?
No. I'm on the question of the United States Labor Party.
I'm sorry, New York, New York, West 58th Street, number 304, United States Labor Party.
Yes, we have this.
Is the information coming from that organization and its leader, Lyndon LaRouche Jr., accurate and worth studying?
Well, the answer to the question is no and no. Well, this is useful material.
It is not completely accurate.
Well, it is not completely accurate.
Are they being funded by another country? Outside governments?
Now, we do not see funding through other governments. We see funding through certain organizations in the United States, basically certain white supremacist organizations.
Nazi organizations?
White supremacist, which would include certain of those, yes.
American Nazi Party?
Yes.
Do you think they are attempting a military coup?
No. Basically because the organization itself is so thoroughly infiltrated that the organization, basically those that observe the organization know more about the organization than the general membership and sooner.
Okay, one more question. Does the D-cell made by Jordan Sloan purify water?
So, please look at.
In Huntington Park, California, Huntington Park, Middleton Street, number 6315, Joe Dunstone, of U of age 76.
Yes, we have this. Well, yes, it does. Well, however, you do it far better where there is no gravity.
Where there is no gravity.
Exactly. It is extremely good in orbital configurations. It works somewhat successfully in a gravitational field, for there is no position in the universe where there is not some effect of gravity, because the lesser the gravity, the greater the effect of the cell itself. It is important to realize that this inner gravity field do take more time. And water have a tendency to lose its sparkle, but to certain air tightness, extremely useful, but far better in orbital work.
Is Joe Dunn Sloan aware of this?
Partially, he knows that it worked well at certain higher altitudes. But he has not pushed this to its logicality.
But it does do a good cleaning job on ordinary drinking water.
Well, basically, yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, Lee, to end, do I ask, is there any further comments? Do Evergreens have any further comments on me, Bob Dean, and my questions?
Basically, our comment is that be careful and be somewhat wary of those that would have a tendency to say that there is an extreme solution to situations. Occam's razor is very useful as a methodology of thinking at this particular juncture. Where it moved towards its simplicity, it would have a tendency to be more correct. If it moved towards its complexity, it would have a tendency to be more incorrect.
Who is Occam's razor?
It is an individual who created a philosophy. Use a dictionary. It would tell you.
Oh, William of Occam?
Yes.
About 1,000 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, there you have it. The first communication with the evergreens, that would be a major breakthrough in human consciousness.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
Wow, Bob.
What was that?
Wow, that was an insight and a half.
that was my key holy offices. Zappa, McLuhan, Harold Innes, Bucky Fuller, May Fresco. Well, he was the... Not a holy office. I preferred Worcester, but we ran Paul through the ringer, and he failed in every point.
and
Lynn LaRouche, and Vodka Cola. Look that book up. Interesting booklet put out by the unions. Vodka Cola and the D-Cell. And for those puzzled, you might notice a certain tension in my voice. I'm in the middle of...
It sounds like your voice hasn't broken yet.
that's right. Yeah, there's the youthfulness or something, but that's what you mean, right?
I'm
still an adolescent.
Yeah. Okay, like at just 20 or something, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually 60 there. No, 58.
Yes. 58.
Now, you'll notice it's interesting hearing oneself. This is 30 years ago, and you hear the uptight, bucking, underground reality of intelligence work, tense, very tense, and
you paid money, and you've got to be quick. You've got half an hour, and you've got to get through all these questions.
Yeah, but you notice he says, I'll just continue with more questions before I turn it over to Carolyn. So the tension is me throwing things at him because he's taking my time.
The dumb fucking blonde sitting here, she's not going to have any fucking worthwhile questions, so I think she could sacrifice 5 minutes. But I did use her name. Now, because I was in intelligence work, I used the name Bob Dean, and I've always been Bob Dean with them, with Ellie, ever since.
Yes. You mentioned before in a recording a day or two ago, you said, I wrote an article under the name Bob Dobbs. You told Michael Blake Reed that, and I was wondering, why is that? And I realize now he knows you as Bob Dean.
I said Bob Dean. You said Bob Dobbs. I wrote an article under the name Bob Dean.
No, at the time you said under the name Bob Dobbs to Michael Blake Reed.
Right. Why did I tell him? That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
They only knew I had adopted Carolyn's name for them, because I was in the middle. I mean, I'm going to be in the Secret Council 10 activities. I'm nowhere near chairmanship for the next 10 years, and still in the natural born killer phase, and that's why I'm not going to play Carolyn's part. You would be shocked at how she sounds, a fucking, super bitch, fucking murderous bitch person. Nowhere the little sweet girl she is today.
What's the process going on there, Bob, when you ask the question? There's a lady in the background, is she typing away and she's searching on Google, or?
No,
this was way before Google.
This is 1980, it's 30 years ago, this is analog media. What you have there is Philippa, a British woman, who is Michael Blake Reed's second wife, and she was very dainty, very soft, and couldn't even read properly the different words, got the addresses wrong. And, I'm looking at my notes, James, and I've got the exact addresses of May Brussel, Paul Shockley, Zappa, but I knew Zappa's, but it's just there, and I have Don Van Vliet trailer court fucking address.
His demo trailer, yeah.
Yeah.
How many years? How many years between that audio and speaking with, is it Bertie, the lady, Bertie?
Yes, Bertie Sell. That would be 14 years later. Joe Dunn Sloan died in 1993. We probably talked to Bertie in 93, 94, 95.
No, not Bertie. It's a woman, the first lady that you spoke to, the Book of Texas.
May Brussel?
No, she was in the Book of Texas. You mentioned her 2 days ago.
Oh, Bertie Catchings. Bertie Catchings.
Yeah.
No, Bertie Catchings was 1971, 9 years earlier. And you see, I'm under incredible tension there. I'm sort of, is this true? I'm a spiritual gift to the masses. I'm fucking not even allowed to reveal who I am. I'm a very uptight person in the middle of intelligence yes. battles.
Be careful of those who have opinions of extreme solutions. That would be an interesting bit of advice, yeah.
And they gave very good information. Well, since I funded LaRouche, since 1966, you read that in the diary, I knew a lot of the answers, but it was interesting to find out, I was testing them to see what they knew. And they knew that LaRouche was funded by white supremacists. Not many people knew that back then.